I was going to say, leave that microphone up here and just play that song again. That was awesome. And so, wow, that was really, really good. I really enjoyed that. I'm starting to like bluegrass more. Man.
We'll take care of
you. Yeah, okay. I'm going to have to learn the ways of bluegrass and everything. And so we were at another church last week, Brazil, in Calvary Baptist Church, and they had more bluegrass. So I was like, I really like that bluegrass stuff. We'll have to make up something like Mexican bluegrass, as you're saying, and make an album or something. That album will be available in your local Mexican market or Walmart. So whatever one you want, wherever you want to go get that and stuff. But so again, my name is Luis Lopez, and my wife Adriana. We have a baby. Her name is Juliana. She's 6 months. She's in the nursery right now, and we're on deputation going to the country of Mexico. And I lived there for a year and a half, and I was able to be there in the state of Sonora, in the city of Hermosillo. That's the capital of the state of Sonora. And you'll see more about that in the presentation video. It'll tell you more of detail what we'll be doing. And I hope it's a blessing to you, and I hope you'll see catch our vision, our burn for the Mexican people down there. And so, Pastor, then after the video, I'll explain a little bit more and give more detail on some different things.
Adriana, and we are missionaries to Mexico. I grew up in a Christian home and was taught about God from a young age, but many events in my family's life led me away from the Lord. It wasn't until I attended a Sunday evening service at the age of 17 that I finally surrendered my heart to the Lord and I was saved. After high school, I attended and graduated from West Coast Baptist College. It was there that God called me to full-time ministry.
When I was 10 years old, I was invited along with my mother to an Easter Sunday service. And that morning, I went to Children's Sunday School, and the teacher taught us the Easter story. After the lesson, he asked if there was anyone who didn't know Christ and would like to accept his free gift of salvation. I raised my hand, and the teacher's wife led me to the Lord, and I got saved that day. A year later, my mother, she passed away, and along with my three siblings and I, we went to go live with my aunt and uncle, who enrolled me in Christian school and taught me Christian values.
As a teenager and young adult, I took many mission trips to Mexico with my church. During those times, God really burned my heart for the Mexican people. Through faith and a lot of hard work, I saved enough money for a future 6 month missions trip. I had no idea where exactly in Mexico I would be going, but after a lot of prayer and counsel, the Lord brought me into contact with Brother Luis Montaño, missionary to Hermosillo, Mexico. Brother Montaño had started Hermosillo Baptist Church 6 years before. I heard how the ministry had grown since then and that many people were being saved through that work. This was exciting and made me more interested in experiencing God's work through that ministry. Through my experience in ministry with Hermosillo Baptist Church, God confirmed his calling for my life and missions to Mexico. With the counsel of Brother Luis Montaño and my pastor Steve Chappell, I returned to the States after my time in Mexico to raise support for a one-year missions internship with Brother Montaño.
It was at a youth conference that I dedicated my life to the Lord. I was 14 years old, and God was moving my heart for ministry, and more particularly for missions. So I became more involved in the ministries at my church. I started helping in children's church and nursery, and eventually began teaching a Sunday school class. At the time, I still struggled with the thought of serving the Lord wholeheartedly in missions, so I began college to study nursing. I loved the idea of being a nurse and using that talent to serve the Lord in medical missions. I felt that was my way of following the Lord's call of missions in my life. But as I continued my studies, I started to lose that desire. And sometime later, I had an opportunity to visit Luis in Hermosillo, Mexico, And during that trip, God confirmed his calling for me in missions.
We were happily married on May 14, 2016. And we are excited about serving the Lord together as a missionary couple. Hermosillo is the capital of the Mexican state of Sonora. Sonora is located in the northwest of Mexico. It has a territory of 71,400 square miles and is the second largest state in the country. It borders the states of Sinaloa, Chihuahua, and Baja California Norte, with the U.S. to the north and the Gulf of California to the west. During a summer, a record high temperature in the month of June was 122 degrees Fahrenheit. There is a Ford plant in Hermosillo, along with other American businesses and influences. According to the latest census in Sonora, 78% of the population, or 1.7 million people, are Roman Catholic, and 4%, or 94,600 people, are Protestant. Sonora also has a growing population of Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, over 106,000 reported, no religion as well. While many people claim to be Roman Catholic, there is a growing influence of other cults and Pentecostal churches. For this reason, we must go and tell the people of the hope and salvation of Jesus Christ. For our first term, we will be returning to Hermosillo Baptist Church and partnering with Brother Luis Montaño. We will be learning from a veteran missionary and working under this ministry. We will be learning the language so that we can effectively reach souls through soul winning and also learn.
I don't know.
Learning the culture. We will also be getting involved and learning hands-on tools for missions and the ministry in Mexico. Also, we'll be helping to develop a future Bible Institute that will train national pastors and send them out to plant churches throughout Sonora, Mexico, and other parts of the world. Through this time of training, we will become more prepared and ready to help with this institute and be involved in church planting. We do not just seek financial support, but we long for ministry partnership, which is critical for ministry success. We seek and long for churches that want to be involved in our ministry. We long for churches that have a passion to reach souls. As well, churches that will rejoice with us to hear of someone getting saved. And also, church partners that share our goal of seeing souls saved and churches planted. The Bible says in Romans 10, 14 through 15, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. We know the vision is challenging, but the command has been given. So for the sake of the gospel, will you partner with us as we reach Mexico with the gospel of Jesus Christ?
When I had gotten saved at the age of 17, it was around that time that my dad started coming back to church. And we were starting to get more involved in the ministry there. Our home and setting church is Coastline Baptist Church in Oceanside, California, and our pastor is Steve Chappell, and we're with Mission Board BIMI. And even at a young age, even after I had gotten saved, God was working in my heart for Mexico. I had taken many mission trips down there to Tijuana. That borders right next to San Diego and right down there. And I had told the Lord, no, I'm not going to do it. And the reason why was, you know, I was a Mexican that didn't speak Spanish that well. And they make fun of people like me down there. And, you know, use someone else, Lord. And I remember just thinking that a lot. It's the same thing with my wife and I. We're fourth and fifth generation Mexican American, and with each generation, you know, you lose the language. It's kind of like it's a culture shift where people in my great grandparents' generation coming over wanted to be American. They wanted to learn English. Well, now we see it's the other way around. They want people coming over to want the United States to be Mexico. So it was a whole different kind of a mindset, and so we were. We spoke English mostly in the house. I knew Spanish, you know, here and there enough to get by. I knew how to get along with the conversation. And so I was afraid of that. I said, Lord, no, not me. Send someone else that already speaks the language well. God, and I got to, after graduation, I got to go to and graduate from West Coast Baptist College there. And that's where God called me to full-time ministry. And again, he was working on my heart again for Mexico. And I said, okay, Lord, I'll meet you. How about this? We'll make a deal. I'll meet you halfway. I'll go down for maybe 6 months. You know, said I went down there, and you know, I gave a good amount of time, and I'm coming back. How about that? We'll work a deal here. You know, work with me, God. Work with me, you know? And I went down there, and again, that's where, again, it's finally just God got a hold of my heart. And I was saying, okay, Lord, I'm tired of running. I'm tired of doing my own thing. I'm tired of running away from your will. I'm here to encourage you guys. If you know what God's will is for your life, what he wants you to do, do it. And I'm so glad I finally surrendered to God's will for my life. And it's been one of the best things I have ever done. And I remember even during that time why I fought it is because even my girlfriend at the time, my wife, she was studying for nursing. And I was thinking, man, if I tell her I'm going down there for missions, going to say, well, good for you. You're going that way. I'm going this way. Good luck down there. See ya. You know, this is done. We're over. And I had fought with that. And I was like, you know what, Lord, I've ran away too many times. I'm not going to let this get in the way. I'm going to tell her and I'll see how that goes. And I remember it was a Thursday night. I called her up and told her everything that God put in my heart. And she said, well, you know, it's kind of interesting. When I was 14, she told me her testimony, as you saw in that video, and how God was calling her to full-time missions work. And she had prayed, Lord, if you want me to do full-time missions work, you know, send me a man that has that mindset. And I said, well, baby, I'm your man. No looking any further and stuff. No, I didn't say. I said, blessed my sister for your calling. Amen to that. And I, but no, but isn't it amazing just how God works? It's, you know, when you find and when you surrender his will, he takes care of the rest. And we got married again, May 2016, May 14th. I didn't even remember those dates. And we've been on full-time deputation since August of 2016. And it was really tough, really hard getting to that 50% mark, but we finally did it. The Lord helped us through that. We're now at 57%, and as the video was talking about, we'll be going back down to Hermosillo, and we'll be down there with that veteran missionary, training with him, helping with that Bible Institute, and then we will branch off ourselves to start a work in Mexico. I'm not sure yet where yet, but we're just doing one step at a time. And so if you could just be praying with us about that and where God would have us to go in Mexico. There's anywhere you go in Mexico, there's a need there. And like I said earlier in the Sunday school, there's 127 and a half million people in Mexico with about 200 missionaries. And that's around 627,500 people for every missionary. So there's a big need down there. We need to train the nationals. We need to honestly, we can do multiplication that way. They can get the job done, honestly, a whole lot better than maybe what we could. And so that is our goal, and that's our vision, what we see for Mexico. And so we're really excited about that. We're ready to get back down there. We're praying that we get back down there. And of next year, spring, that's what it looks like it's going to be. And we praise the Lord that now that we're 57%, booking meetings and everything has gone a whole lot faster, and now the ball is rolling, and so we're really praying that we can get down there during that time. There's a lot of people that need to hear the gospel, and that's why we are going down there to evangelize the people and start churches down there in Mexico. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. The same passage of scripture you saw in the video. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. And Pastor, what time would you like to? Oh, okay. That's the way I always do it. We'll stay here then for until someone raises their hand and says, Brother Lopez, let my people go. No, I'm not going to take a whole lot of your time and everything. So, again, thank you, Pastor. Thank you, church family, for allowing us to come to present our burden and vision with you. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. This morning I want to preach to you a message that I've entitled, God's Message to the World. God's Message to the World. Let's start off with a word of prayer, though. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for another Sunday to be in your house, Lord. Lord, we want to thank you for dying on the cross for our sins, saving our souls. And Lord, we want to thank you, God, for all the things that you have blessed us with our salvation, and Lord. And I pray, God, that you have a message for us. You have a message for this world, Lord. I pray, God, that you will use each and every one of us to proclaim your message to a lost and dying world. Lord, we want to thank you again. We just want to thank you, Lord, for your salvation. Help us to never, ever lose that excitement. We thank you, God, and I pray, God, and ask, Lord, that you would give me your power, not my words. Give me your words, Lord. Hide me behind your cross. And we thank you, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. My mom and dad, when they were dating, my dad was stationed in Greece. He was 20 years in the Air Force. A lot of times he would say how they would communicate was through phone call or just through letter. But now, today's technology, we have cell phones. We can text each other. I remember when my wife and I were dating, we would love to text each other. And I remember I'd be sitting there and all of a sudden I hear a boop message from Adriana. Ooh, I couldn't wait to see what she had to say. You know, open it up, you know, what's up, hunk of a man or something. I mean, I don't know, but, you know, just, you know, I couldn't wait to see what her message was. And even when I was in Mexico, the place I was staying at did not have Wi-Fi. I did not have Wi-Fi there. I was the room that I was renting there. It was with a church family, and I remember early in the morning when I would go to work at the church, and the church had Wi-Fi, and I would go there and I'd write this big old email, and I send it off to her, and I have to wait till the next day because she was on a different shift during when she was working, and so I would, you know, be at the church all day. Then I go home, and I couldn't wait to go back the next morning to see an email back, and I could read her letter, what she would have to say to me. I couldn't wait to see what her message was. Now, many times we know that even in our day, many athletes, leaders, political people, famous people, when they get up to say something or an interview, we're all ears. We want to hear their message. We want to hear what they have to say. And we know that even in commercials, they try to get their message out on their products or whatever the thing could be to get your attention. They want you to hear their message. And we live in a world where everyone and everything is trying to get their message out to you. But God has an important message that he wants the world to hear. More important than any news in the world. More important than any political thing, any sports thing, he wants to tell the world a message. It's a message of hope and peace in a world where there is not a lot of hope and peace. It's the gospel. God has a message to tell the world. And we're going to see in these scriptures right here what God wants the world to know. We're going to first of all see in verse 13, we see the promise in God's message. The promise in God's message. Again, in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, we've had people in our lives, or maybe you were that person, that have lied or broken a promise to someone. I'm sure we could all maybe name someone or something that they made a promise and they broke it. Or people that have made vows of marriage and they broke that promise with that person. Maybe of a child that was waiting for their dad to come visit them or their mom to come visit them in a broken relationship, and they never kept their promise. People will break their promises to you, and they will lie to you. But aren't you glad that God never breaks his promises, and he will never lie? In Titus 1:2 it says, "And hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began." We see the promise in God's message. And aren't you glad that God cannot lie, will never break his promise? We see that God's promise of salvation is for every person. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is for everyone. And earlier in verse 12, it says, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." And if you study this, you notice that Paul is speaking about Israel. And Israel thought that salvation was only for them. And salvation, as we know, has nothing to do with one's race, but their faith in Jesus Christ. The Jew thought and believed that it was only for them. You see, they were the seed of Abraham. They kept the law. They were God's chosen people. But Paul is writing and saying that no, salvation, the Messiah, was for everyone. And we see that he is quoting from the Old Testament to prove his point. He is quoting Joel 2:32 and it says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For into Mount Zion and Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call." And aren't you glad that the promise of salvation, it was not only for the Jew, but it was also for you and me, the Gentile. Yes. It was for everyone. Christ died for everyone. I love the verse, and I'm sure we all know it. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I even think of 1 John 2:2. "And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." And I even think of 1 Timothy 2:4, "Who will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth." The gospel is for everyone, every ethnicity, every tongue, tribe, and nation and language. It is for everyone. And every nation, tribe, and language will be represented in heaven if they get saved. If they are saved, if you look in Revelation 5:9, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Salvation was and is for everyone. There was a big missions conference, and there were some pastors from all over the world that were there at this conference. And there was a Filipino pastor, a Chinese pastor, a Japanese pastor, an American pastor that were there. And the Filipino pastor was talking with them. He said, "We're going to speak to God in heaven. That's where we're going to speak in heaven." The Japanese pastor looked at him and just, "What are you talking about? We're going to speak Japanese in heaven." A Chinese pastor looked at both of them and said, "You are all wrong. We're going to speak Chinese in heaven. You guys have gotten all wrong." The fourth pastor, the American pastor, looked at him and said, "Look, all you guys have got it wrong. We're going to speak American in heaven. I don't know what you guys are talking about." So after the missions conference, they all went on their way home. And they all passed away on the same night. True story. And they were in heaven, and the angels giving them the tour of heaven, and they were wondering amongst themselves, "Okay, this is cool now, but what language is God going to speak in?" And they were, you know, they gave them the key to their mansions. They show them the streets of gold, and you know, and then finally they heard, "God is coming! God is coming!" And they all were pushing the crowd and all these pastors and wanting to get a glimpse of God, wanting to hear what he had to say. What language is God going to speak in? So they're running and stuff, and they got in the front, and God was coming down, and he sat on his throne, and it was just seemed like an eternity. They're all just waiting for him to open his mouth. What is God? What language is he going to speak? And they're sitting there waiting, and God sits on his throne, and he says, "Hola, buenos tardes, bienvenidos al cielo." And they were all looking at each other in confusion. And the angel turned around and said, "Do you guys need a translator?" Now, I don't know what we're going to be speaking in heaven, okay? I mean, don't go out saying, "Hey, the missionary said God speaks Spanish and everything." But isn't it amazing that out of every blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation will be represented in heaven, and that salvation is for everyone. Amen. It is for everyone. And they sung the new song of redemption, "The Lamb gave himself for us." And aren't you glad the Lamb gave himself for you? You see, that is a great promise in God's message. But not only do we see the promise in his message, but we see the purpose of God's message. In verse 14, we'll go and read there. We'll start off in verse 13. We see again the promise in God's message. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And then we see here the purpose of God's message. "How then shall they call him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" You see, the purpose is to bring his message because there is unbelief. There's people that have unbelief. The Bible says, "Call on whom they have not believed." Now, my wife, she sometimes calls me a nerd. I like to watch Discovery Channel. I like to watch about animals and, you know, those different kind of things and nature. And I also like to watch, you know, documentaries about on the History Channel about different men in history and World War II and all those things. And, you know, she was calling me a nerd at the beginning, but now she's watching them with me and she likes them. And she probably knows more about them than me. But there's one particular man that I really, really loved learning about. It was really interesting to me. And that was Alexander the Great. You see, his name comes from the Greek alexo, defend, and endure, man. Thus, his name means protector of men. Is there anyone here named Alexander? I was going to say, well, you're a protector of men, dude. You got a macho name right there. But his name is protector of men. Alexander the Great founded 70 cities, naming at least 20 after himself. Alexander the Great had heterochromia indrium. I don't know if I even said that right. But one of his eyes was blue and the other was brown. Alexander the Great was simultaneously the king of Macedonia, pharaoh of Egypt, king of Persia, and king of Asia all at one time. And when Alexander the Great had died, he had the most expensive funeral of all time. Does anyone want to guess how much it was? It was amounted to $600 million in today's currency on the funeral that he spent on himself. I'm sure that no doubt we would all believe that this man existed. We see in the history records, you know, cities named after him. We know that this man existed, even though we have never seen the guy. And it's amazing that many people have no problem believing that Alexander the Great existed, but they have trouble believing that there is a God out there. They have trouble believing that Jesus said who he said he was. And they have more belief in a historical figure than of the true God. You see, Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." Romans 1:20, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and God, so that they are without excuse." Even though we have never seen Jesus Christ physically, the evidence of him is here in this word of who he said he was. The evidence is your changed life. That's great evidence right there. You see, there's people out there in Mexico, and I'm sure all around here too. They believe in God. But they don't believe in the gospel. They're uninformed. We see that, and believe in whom they have not heard. They're uninformed. I'm a big Coca-Cola fan. Now, if you like Pepsi, then I'll be praying for you, okay? But I am a big Coca-Cola fan, and Coca-Cola is known in more than 200 countries around the world. Coca-Cola's website claims that Coca-Cola is available in over 200 countries. But if you research more, there are only about 196 independent countries on the planet. But Coca-Cola claims so. Coca-Cola says they sell 1.8 billion servings of the drink every day. And they have their products worldwide across five operating regions: Asia Pacific, Europe, Middle East and Africa, Latin America, and North America. And I guarantee you that the average person has heard about Coca-Cola, has seen the product, or even tasted the product, or even seen like a banner of Coca-Cola. They know what it is. Could that be said about Jesus Christ? Could that be the same about Jesus? Could the majority of this world have maybe ever heard about Jesus Christ? Have you even heard of the gospel? Sally, no. They have not heard. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There's people out there with unbelief. They are uninformed. They're ignorant of the circumstances that they are in. You see, there's a great promise in God's message. There's a purpose. There's people out there that don't believe. There's people out there that are uninformed. But lastly, and we'll end here, the proclamation of God's message. The proclamation of God's message. To declare it. We have to declare God's message. Psalm 96:3, declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. Again, in verse 15, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Before hearing, there must be preaching. And we have a divine commission and a job from the Lord is to go and to tell. We see in Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And Matthew 28, we think of the great commission. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, and the Son, of the Holy Ghost. We see here twice that Jesus says, go and tell. Go and tell. And in order to go, you gotta walk, right? You gotta go and tell somebody. And we go on, and it goes on to say, the Bible says that the feet of those that preach the gospel of Jesus Christ are beautiful. It's interesting how God calls feet beautiful. And I'm gonna tell you something right now. There's nothing beautiful about my feet. I recently had to go to Walmart and I had to buy some extra foot powder, okay? I like to keep my feet dry. Feet are stinky. Feet get dirty. I don't think there was ever one time when my wife and I were dating where she thought, I wonder what his feet look like. There was never probably one time with something that went through my mind is like, man, she's so pretty. I wonder what her feet look like. I can't even think of maybe like a teenager or a teenage girl that has a crush on somebody, you know. Like, oh, look at him. He's got some good-looking feet. I don't picture that. Hey, man, check it out, bro. You got some pretty feet there. I don't see that. I really don't see that. What are so beautiful about feet? You know, I thought more about this. Why couldn't maybe use a picture of maybe the mouth or the lips? Those are pretty. You know, those are an attractive thing. Feet are not attractive or beautiful. I even have so much respect for those people that do those pedicures. I mean, you don't know what kind of feet you're going to get when you take off that shoe and do that stuff. You don't know what they're going to smell like, right? Here's a quick little thing I'm going to teach you men right now. I always get mixed up pedicure and manicures. I always say, you know, your pedicure, right, babe? You're going to get your pedicure? No, this is a manicure, okay? Well, in Spanish, this is how you guys can remember. In Spanish, feet are los pies. Pies, and P-I-E-S, los pies. P, pies, pedicure, P, feet. There you go. You learned something. Hands in Spanish, los manos. Los manos, manicure, there you go. M and M, they go together. There you go. Hands, manos, manicure, pedicure, los pies. There you go. You learned something new today. But the Bible calls feet beautiful. Why the feet? It's because it's with one's feet that they carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to lost sinners. And we all have a single task and responsibility is to preach and to tell people of the gospel. Now, we all know that men are called to be pastors and preach up here in this pulpit. But every one of you, man, woman, child, boy, girl, can go and tell people to proclaim and to preach and tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's nothing beautiful about feet, but when you go and tell people, your feet are beautiful. To preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And the gospel means good news. The gospel means good news. And here he takes from the Old Testament, Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace and bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. This is a picture of a messenger, of a herald, bringing a message. Now, back in the Bible times, many kings or generals and leaders would wait to hear good news out of the battle. It was like a picture of them waiting in a far, maybe like a far distant land, and they would see the herald running and proclaiming, we've won the battle, or we've got good news. We've got, and they would just be there waiting and waiting to see what was the news, what was going on. There are people out there that are waiting to hear good news. And maybe you could be that one. Hey, I've got the answer to your problems, Jesus Christ. Amen. I've got the answer to all your troubles, Jesus Christ. Hey, you want to know how to go to heaven? Jesus Christ. And there's people out there that are waiting to hear that. That's what Paul is picturing here in this passage. You see, there's a great promise in God's message. And it's for everyone. No matter what language you speak, what color of skin you have, no matter what your background is, no matter, it is for everyone. That person who maybe you hold, you know, don't like, or you hold on to feelings about, or they've hurt you in the past, they need to get saved as well. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a great promise. But that promise, there's not a lot of people that know about that, the purpose. There's people out there that don't believe. There's people out there that have unbelief. They're ignorant. They don't know the circumstances they're in. There's a purpose. And as well, we need to proclaim that message, to declare that message to a lost and dying world. There's nothing beautiful about my feet. Nothing beautiful about them. But when you let God use them, they're beautiful. Amen. He calls that beautiful. And the gospel is good news. Don't you remember the day you got saved? That good news, that was some great news. And there's people out there. There's people, not just in Mexico, but there's people, your family. There's people at your school. There's people at your work that are just waiting to hear that news. And you could be kind of like that herald. Hey, I've got good news for you. And his prompt, the answer to all your problems, his name is Jesus Christ. God has a message for everyone, for this world. And he wants you to tell others of that message. Or if you're here this morning, and you're not sure, 100% sure, if you die today, you go to heaven. God has a message for you to hear in his word.